All right, let's start reading here, starting verse 14. For as many as are led by the Spirit of God, they are the sons of God. For you have not received the spirit of bondage again to fear, but you have received the spirit of adoption, whereby we cry, Abba, Father. The Spirit itself bears witness with our spirit that we are the children of God. And if children, then heirs, heirs of God, and joint heirs with Christ, if so be that we suffer with him, that we may be also glorified together. For, let's go down to verse 19, for the earnest expectation of the creature waiteth for the manifestation of the sons of God. All right, it's very key that you realize that the word sons of God doesn't refer to a gender here. It's talking about a mature people or mature offspring. The Bible says in the book of Acts that we are the offspring of God. Over in Galatians chapter 1, it says something interesting. It said that when the people of God have not grown up, let me just read it and see what it says here. In Galatians chapter 4, verse 1, now I say that the heir, as long as he's a child, differs nothing from a servant, though he be the Lord of all. Listen at this, now to the Amplified. What I mean is that as long as the inheritor, the heir, somebody who inherits something, is a child and underage, he differs nothing from a slave, although he's a master of the whole estate. So it's interesting how God seemingly won't turn things over to you when you're childish, and that God's people need to grow up. So this message is for grown folk. Amen. Grown folk message. If you're not grown, you'll be grown after you finish the message. But it's very key that we, the church, grows up, because without that growth in our lives, there are things not only that we can't see, but there are things that we can't have, can't receive, because of our lack of maturity. But God wants us all to mature. But he says here, verse 14, but they that are led by the Spirit of God, they are the sons of God. Verse 16, the Spirit itself bears witness with our spirit that we are the children of God. And if children, then heirs, heirs of God, and joint heirs with Christ. In verse 19, the whole creation waited for the manifestation of the sons of God. Things are coming in the world right now that people cannot solve. Matter of fact, they're looking for solutions and so forth. And they're getting beyond seemingly the natural intelligence or the natural ability to solve problems. And this is not new. It's been like that for a long time. It's just that it's not been so exposed. But now it is. But this is an opportunity for the church, because the church is tied into the wisdom of God. And the wisdom of God and the kingdom of God and the power of God has the ability to fix anything. It doesn't make any difference what the situation is. It can fix it. Now, God is God. Boy, isn't that profound? God is God. Well, that came out before I even realized it. What I'm saying is that God is not a Republican. And God is not a Democrat. Are you following what I'm saying? Now, I'm saying that because sometimes what we do is try to put God on our side. Let's go to Joshua, please, in Joshua chapter 5. Now, right there, that almost offended somebody right there, because you thought God was a Democrat. Okay, let's look here. Come on, let's look. I'm not nothing against the Democrats or Republicans. I'm going to keep this place in there neutral, so that anybody can come in here. I don't want this to turn into that. All right, look what it said in Joshua chapter 5 and verse 13. And it came to pass when Joshua was by Jericho. Now, Joshua is about to go in to take the Canaan land, or to go in and receive his inheritance. And Jericho was going to be the first battle. That he lifted up his eyes and looked, and behold, there stood a man over against him with his sword drawn, and in his hand. And Joshua went unto him. He said unto him, art thou for us or for our adversaries? In other words, whose side are you on? And he said, nay, underline nay. But as a captain of the host of the Lord am I now come. And Joshua fell on his face into the earth and did worship and said unto him, what saith my Lord unto his servants? And that's when he told him, take off his shoes, for the place that he's standing is holy. But the nay there, what does it mean? He says, hey, wait a minute. Oh, whoa, look. I'm too big to take sides. It's what side are you on? Are you following what I'm saying? In other words, I'm not coming. This is what God said. I'm not coming to take sides. I'm coming to take over. Now, this is good for you to understand, because a lot of times this whole idea of political correctness, all kinds of things, the right and so forth, I know we do all of this. But wait a minute. Hold on. Let's not take God and put him on your side. Let's take you and put you on God's side, because that's where it is. And the other is pride. And so as we look at this, we are now in this area we call manifesting the sons of God. And this subtitle to this teaching is called Vengeance and Recompense. Vengeance and Recompense. This idea of vengeance and recompense is something that God placed in my heart. I went and I heard somebody preach overseas and indicated this, and God had been putting it in my heart, and then I've been preaching it ever since, just trying to bring some things out that I think the church needs to rediscover. So as we look at this, what we said here basically is that Jesus is coming soon. And in the preparation for his coming, the church is to now bring the kingdom of God into manifestation wherever we go. And as we go different places, we are now supposed to influence those spheres of influence with the gospel. And when we're talking about the kingdom of God, we're talking about integrity. We're talking about honesty. We're talking about love and talking about peace. We're talking about all these things, because all these things are attributes of the kingdom of God. Jesus said, pray, thy kingdom what? Come, thy will be what? Done where? On earth as it is in heaven. So all these things are there. But one of the things that is there also is the word justice. Now, this word justice, you're going to be able to see it from Genesis all the way to Revelation, because it is absolutely lined throughout the Bible. But this is one of the topics that the church or people have kind of sidestepped. And one of the reasons why is because the enemy has tried to help us sidestep it, because he knew the power of this particular topic. Now, justice is one of the most vital aspects of the kingdom manifestation. Justice is. And it's also something that is preached not only in the Old Testament, but in the New Testament. And what we did is we went to a couple of scriptures to find out about justice. And if you go with me to Psalms chapter 97, please. Over in Psalm chapter 97, and forgive me, I'm going to skip right along, because after this, I've got to fly down to Tuskegee for a service tonight and then fly out of here tomorrow. So I just need to move right along. So just be with me. Say amen. Say amen to that. Verse 1, the Lord reigneth, and let the earth rejoice, and let the multitude of isles be glad thereof. Watch this. Clouds and darkness are round about him. Righteousness and judgment are the habitation of his throne. Now, let's translate that, because in some translations, it's already translated for us. But in the King James here, it's not. The word judgment translates justice. So righteousness and justice are the habitation. Now you need a translation for that. It's foundation of his throne. So out of God's throne flows justice. It is the very foundation of his throne. And so as we look at it, you look at it in the natural, and you look at the Supreme Court, and up on the building, I think, is already it's painted some scales. And these scales have always got to balance. Well, that's the idea of God. Well, speaking about ideas from God, let's go to Isaiah, please, in chapter 33. And over in Isaiah chapter 33, let's look and see where we model our justice system from in the United States. And look what it says in Isaiah 33 and verse 22. For the Lord is our judge, the Lord is our lawgiver, and the Lord is our king. He will save us, or he will deliver us, or he will give us victory. So the Lord is our judge. That's the judicial branch of government. The Lord is our lawgiver. That is the Congress and the Senate. The Lord is our king. That's the White House. So you got all three branches of government right there. It's model right there. And that's where our forefathers got it from. Now, what I'm saying to you is that God is the judge. Let's go over to Psalm chapter 75, please. Psalm chapter 75. And as we go in Psalm chapter 75, glory to God, look what it says here, starting at verse 6 through 7. For promotion cometh neither from the east or from the west or from the south, but God is the what? Judge. He putteth down one, keep going, and he sets up another. God is the judge. Let's go all the way over to Hebrews, please, and Hebrews chapter 12. Hebrews chapter 12, Old and New Testament. Let's go to Hebrews chapter 12, and I'll read here at verse 23. Well, let me read at verse 22. But ye are come unto a Mount Zion, and to the city of the living God, a heavenly Jerusalem, and to an innumerable company of angels. They cannot, there's so many you cannot count them. To the general assembly and the church of the who? Firstborn, which are written in heaven, and to God, keep going, the judge of how much? All, and to the spirits of just men made perfect. All right. He is the judge of all. He will promote and demote. Now understand, this is our judge. Because what has happened is that in the earth, once Adam sinned, Satan took over. And he's the architect of the Babylonian system that is pervasive in the world today. And that system's characteristic is chiefly trying to meet its needs without God. So once you bring God into Satan's system, it brings order to chaos. It will make it so that things that were in that system that Satan was operating in, they don't function anymore. Satan is called the Prince of Darkness. And that system is run by deception and fear. There's another system over here that the system of light. It's run by love and faith. And God is now, and truth, and God is now having one system to invade the other through the church. So the church goes into places that are dark, and you are called the light of the world. Got it? All right. Now, as this happens here, God is the judge over all. And what we have to see, now there's a lot that we've covered, so I'm not going to try to cover that again. Here is Daniel, for example. Let's just take him. Daniel chapter 6. Let's go there, please. In Daniel chapter 6. Now, Daniel is presently here in a heathen kingdom, meaning that he is a Jew and he's in a kingdom of Gentiles. Now, what is happening, is because of Daniel's anointing that Daniel is being raised up in that kingdom. God is promoting him. That's why I tell you, if your supervisor doesn't want to promote you, God will promote you. Oh, Jesus. Now, I'm saying you're not sleeping at work. I'm talking about you're doing the job. You got to qualify that for some folks. All right. Now, let's look at this. Verse 3. Then this Daniel was preferred above the presidents and princes because an excellent spirit was in him. And the king thought to set him over the whole realm. Watch this. Then the president and princes sought to find occasion against Daniel concerning the kingdom, but they could find none occasion nor fault. For as much as he was faithful, neither was there any error of fault found in him. Now this is Daniel. Then said these men, we shall not find any occasion against this Daniel, except we find it against him concerning the law of his God. Then these presidents and princes assembled together to the king and said, thus said unto him, King Darius, live forever. All the presidents of the kingdom and the governors and the princes are rulers, and counselors and captains have consulted together to establish a royal statute and to make a firm decree. This is a law now, that whosoever shall ask a petition of any god of man or man for 30 days, save thee, O king, he shall be cast into the den of lions. Now, O king, establish the decree and sign in writing that it be not changed according to the law of the Medes and Persians, which altereth not. Wherefore, King Darius signed the writing and the decree. Now, when Daniel knew that the writing was signed, he went into his house, and his windows being open, Lord have mercy, in his chamber toward Jerusalem, he kneeled upon his knees how many times a day? 3 times a day, and prayed and gave thanks before his God as he did aforetime. Now notice, this is interesting because they made an ungodly law. See, there is no, wherever you want and have justice, you must have laws. Glory to God. The number one target, I think I'm gonna go so far as saying number one, of demonic abuse in this hour is the justice system. Now in this, without justice, everything collapses. Got it? So we've got to have justice. And God is a God of justice. But what Babylon does is try to alter to come up with laws that are against heaven's laws. Now Daniel has a choice. What is he going to do? Because what these friends are up to is to get Daniel to worship their king as God. That's what they're after. But Daniel wouldn't do it. He wouldn't compromise. That's a big word today. He wouldn't compromise, even though the threat of death was in the air. Now, what we showed you is, come on back over with me, to Psalm chapter 37, please. Psalm chapter 37. Glory to God. In Psalm 37, look at verse 28. For the Lord loveth judgment. Now, what's another word for that? Justice. And forsaketh not his who? His saints. Who are his saints? Come on. We are. They are what? Preserved. Come on. Forever. Notice, this is not the only place that was tried. Where is another place it was tried? It was tried over here with the three Hebrews. Notice what happened. And when they made a law that when you hear the music, you got to bow down and worship this statue. Did they do it? No. Because the scripture tells us that God will not forsake his people. Watch this. And, glory to God, he will preserve us. Come on now, y'all got to see what I'm saying. I'm saying that we have his word that if we confront injustice, that God will preserve us. If we confront injustice, come on now, that God will not forsake us. Listen, I don't know what else you think. I don't know what else you've seen. I'm looking at the Bible and I'm looking at evidence that this scripture is true. Why? Because now the enemy is trying to put an unjust laws on the book, and these unjust laws are going to control humanity and cause humanity to go out in a place where the curse is going to be upon them, that they be destroyed. But God is saying, wait a minute, I'm going to send my people in there. Now, what did Daniel do? Daniel, even though the law was made that Daniel could not pray to any other god, it was against the laws of his God. Now, what am I telling you? I'm telling you there is a natural system where you have the Supreme Court, where you have the Congress, and where you have the White House. But God is saying, I'm the Lord over everything. And I'm not only God, but I am the Supreme Court, I am the Congress, and I am, come on, the White House. And if you are not satisfied with the laws that you have and been given from that natural system that's being contaminated, all you got to do is appeal to another judge. And I'm the one that can cause a fire that's burning not to burn you. I am the one. Well, let's go back over in Daniel. Let's go back over in Daniel and see what God did. Halababashata. Thank you, Lord. I'm telling you, this is your time right now. Now, look what happened. They took him and they threw him in the lion's den. But notice what happened. Once they threw him in there, he got in there and the king couldn't sleep that night. Now, what am I telling you? I am telling you that God is preserving you, but anybody that's tampering with you, that's tampering with your destiny, that's tampering with your career, that's tampering with your business, that's tampering with your children, that's tampering with your marriage, that's tampering with anything that God has given you, that God is commanding vengeance upon them right now. Now, let's get a definition of the word vengeance, because you need to get that. The word vengeance has nothing to do, this is the biblical definition, it has nothing to do with hatred or resentment or some kind of emotional retaliation. Get that out of your mind. That's a natural thing that man has come up with. That is not God's vengeance. God's vengeance is something that proceeds out of his heart for a love of justice and is a necessity for punishing offenders. Do you hear what I'm saying? Now, he's saying, though, over in Hebrews, put it up there on the board, please. Hebrews chapter 10 and verse 30, look what God says. He says that vengeance, we know him that has said, vengeance belongeth to who? Me. Keep going. And I will what? Recompense, saith the Lord. And again, the Lord shall do what? He shall judge his people. So who does vengeance belong to? It belongs to the Lord. Who does recompense belong to? It belongs to the Lord. What is recompense? Recompense means to compensate. It means to repay or to return of equivalent anything that's done or suffered. It means to make amends. It means to pay damages. So what am I saying to you? I'm saying that God said to a man, he said this, and I want to read it. He said, my people are letting the adversary get away with too much, not making him pay for what he has put them through, letting him off too lightly. Now, this is interesting because I want to just give you something here that might mean something to you. This justice, you know, I'm thinking I'm the only one that's thinking like this. Last night, I started listening to a sermon by Billy Graham. And this is a sermon, they were playing old sermons by Billy Graham of years ago, 1950s or whatever, and he's a young man, and he was preaching in Chicago of about upwards of 40,000 people that were there. And he started talking about justice. He said, if there was really an understanding of justice, we wouldn't have some of the poverty that we're having. He said, if there really was an understanding of justice, we would have had not been going through the divorces and so forth. He said, if there was really an understanding of justice, we wouldn't be going through the racial problems that we're having. Now, this is very interesting because I'm saying back in the 50s, he's talking about justice in racial problems. Now, you got to hear what I'm saying. Don't run out on me. You sit here right here till I finish. The church that has lost its voice for justice is a church that has lost its relevance in the world. I'll say it again. A church that has lost its voice for justice is a church that has lost its relevance in the world. You see, Satan, on purpose, he tries to blind the minds of people and keep them from understanding the ways of God and these things of God. And I've heard all kinds of things preached. I heard this and prosperity and healing, but I'd never heard justice preached. And I wonder, why did I hear it preached? Because the enemy has caught, he knows that justice is key to us receiving a manifest, Lord have mercy, let me get it right for you. Justice is one of the main conditions by which heaven's economy is going to manifest. Are you with me? Now just hear what I'm saying. I'm saying, Lord Jesus, let me just finish Daniel for you. I got so much on my mind. All right. In Daniel, so what did they do with Daniel? They took Daniel and they threw him in the lion's den. But it's something interesting. The king couldn't sleep all night. Why? Because the number one job of the Holy Ghost in these last days is to execute vengeance upon all the enemies of God, and nothing shall escape him. Somebody said, well, Jesus didn't do that. I know, because Jesus's mission wasn't that. Jesus stood up in the synagogue and said in Luke chapter 4, verse 18, the Spirit of the Lord is upon me, because he has anointed me to preach the gospel to the poor. He has sent me to heal the brokenhearted, to preach deliverance to the captives and recovering of sight to the blind, to set at liberty them that are bruised, and to preach the acceptable year of the Lord. And then he closed the book and sat down, and the eyes of all them in the synagogue were fastened on him, and he began to say, this day is this scripture fulfilled in your ears. This day is this scripture fulfilled in your ears. This day is this scripture fulfilled in your ears. Now notice what he came to fulfill, that scripture. But that wasn't all there was to the reading. Let's go to Isaiah and Isaiah chapter 61. And let's start there at verse 2, please. Isaiah 61 and verse 2, to proclaim the acceptable year of the Lord. And he closed the book because that was all that he was going to do. But look what's left. and the day of vengeance of our God to comfort all that mourn, keep going, to appoint unto them that mourn in Zion, to give them beauty for ashes, oil of joy for mourning, the garment of praise for the spirit of heaviness, that they might be called trees of righteousness, the planting of the Lord, that he might be glorified, keep going, and they shall build the old waste places. They shall raise up former desolations, and they shall repair waste cities and desolation of many generations. What did Jesus do? Jesus didn't repair any cities. Jesus didn't buy any real estate. Jesus didn't build any orphanages. Jesus didn't start any businesses. Jesus didn't have any colleges and universities, because that was not his mission. He wasn't in that. That is the church's mission. We are taking up where he left off. And the Holy Ghost, and his number one assignment, that he now, that Christ left, he now is coming in, and he is going to, the full of the ministry of Christ has been now duly and completely turned over to the person of the Holy Ghost. Now the Holy Ghost is not an it. The Holy Ghost is not smoke. The Holy Ghost is a person. And now he's coming inside of you, and they that are led by the Spirit of God, they are the sons of God. He's gonna use you to build orphanages. He's gonna use you to take some of them prisons and convert them into boarding schools. He's gonna use you to minister to the poor. He's gonna use you to get people off of welfare. He's gonna, you, come on now. There ain't gonna be no bailout from Washington. The bailout is gonna come from the church, because we're gonna bail them out and give them Jesus at the same time. He's gonna use you to buy banks. He's gonna use you, come on now. I'm saying this is the church's finest hour. Now, why haven't these things been done? Why are people in the church the same condition economically that they were 10 years ago? What is happening? What is happening is you got saved, but you didn't know you had recompense. You didn't know that Satan is the culprit and the master behind every plot and scheme of robbery. That he used a system to try to rob you of your peace, of your marriage, of your children. But everything he did to you can be taken to the court of heaven. And everything he did has been kept track of by the records of heaven, and God is going to demand recompense. Now you gotta hear what I'm saying. I'm not talking about something you're going on in Washington. I'm talking about something that's going on in heaven. I'm talking about a reality that's more real and more powerful than anything that can happen in Washington, D.C. Say amen to that. I'm saying if you've been sick and the devil was a cause of it, you got recompense coming. If you've been divorced and been wiped out and the devil was behind splitting up your marriage, you got recompense coming. If you've been humiliated, if you've been defrauded, if you've been embezzled, if you've been schemed against, I got good news for you. Payday! Payday! Come on down here to Daniel chapter 6. Let me know when you get to Daniel chapter 6. Here's the king now. So the king couldn't sleep that night. He asked for some, he didn't even want any music around him. Why? Because when they mistreat you, they have no peace. I said, when they mistreat you, they have no peace. He came in and called him. Daniel! Oh, Daniel, servant of the living God, verse 20. Is thy God whom you serve continually able to deliver you from the lions? Then Daniel said to the king, long live the king. Why? He wasn't angry. Because this doesn't work with hate. This works by love. Why do you need to get angry when you know they can't do anything with you? So what am I saying to you? Right? Daniel came on out, and what did the Bible say about it? It says here that God, my God, has sent his angel, and he has shut the lion's mouth, that they have not hurt me. Why? Because he preserves his saints. Now notice, he didn't compromise it. But what did we do? Next thing we know, some Congress voted to take Bibles out of schools. That was what, 1961 or 62, somewhere along in there? What did church do? Silent. Silent. Notice, as they kept silent, they started losing relevance. More and more people stopped coming. Because no power. Why? Why come? Next thing that happened, now they don't have Bibles. But what they have now is metal detectors. Look at what's going on in the schools now. Satan is a negotiator. His job is to negotiate you out of every one of your rights. We are joint heirs with who? Christ. The Bible says the earth is the whose? Lord's. And the what? Fullness thereof, and they that dwell in it. Well, if you're joint heirs with him, same thing about you. Everything he got, you got. Everything he got, his name, you got his peace, you got his righteousness. Everything Christ got, you got. You got the whole earth back. Now, it doesn't belong to the devil, nor the people that the devil is using. Why? Because he's trying to work his system. His system comes to steal, come on, kill, and destroy. Look at all the kids been dead. Church sitting up having fun. Hallelujah. Well, that's all right. He wants to have fun. But don't forget about justice. Now, listen, a lot of folks don't like to hear this, because I'm not talking about buy 15 Cadillacs. What I'm talking about is something more serious. I'm talking about a commitment that we have to Christ. And somebody's got to talk about this. I said somebody's got to talk about this. Now, let's go on down. Let's see what happened. Verse 24. And the king commanded that they be brought those men, which had accused Daniel, and they cast them into the den of lions, them, their children, Quasis, their wives, and the lions had a mastery of them. I guess they had a feast and break all the bones and so forth and so on. Now, let me show you something. Turn to Isaiah, if you will, and let's come back here to Isaiah. Glory to God. No. Excuse me. Ezekiel. Ezekiel chapter 18, please. Don't run out on me now. I'm not done with you yet. I'm going to sew you up if you just stick around. And we're doing major surgery now. I told you this is a grown folks' message. We're not letting the enemy take any more ground. I said we're not letting the devil take any more ground. Those kids have been going from the school to jail. And we got to stop that. Somebody told me 80% of African American men, working age men, 80% of them are convicted felons, have a felon record. Folks, something wrong with that, man. I don't care who you are. Remember now, if you're not for justice, you're on the wrong side. We got to do something about this. That's what the story of the Good Samaritan is all about. A priest passed by, a Levite passed by, you know, we too busy. Well, we having church over there. I got to get to church. But the Samaritan's laying down there half dead, bleeding. Am I right? I mean, the man left down there half dead, bleeding. And here comes a Samaritan. A Samaritan is an outcast, somebody nobody else likes. Here comes somebody nobody else likes, and he comes by and joins the man where he is. And once he took him where he is, he took him and said, hey, took this man, bound up his wounds and poured oil and wine in, and next thing you know, he set him on his own donkey and took him to an inn. This is what he told the innkeeper, keep him and take care of him, and whatever expenses he runs, I'll pay for it when I get back. That's the blind side. I'm telling you right now, folks, we're going to be held accountable for some of this. The only reason I'm telling you this, I heard him preach on last night. I said, wow. Whoa, they're preaching that back in the 1950s. But I don't hear much about that today. Because what that does is it stirs up accountability. Sure it does. It stirs up accountability. And I'm not talking about one race. I'm talking about everyone that's in the kingdom of God. Don't shout me down because I'm preaching good now. All right, look what it says in Ezekiel. Now notice those people died, but look what it says about it. Verse 23. I have any pleasure at all that the wicked should die, saith the Lord. And not that he should return from his ways and what? And live. God has no pleasure in wicked people dying. He's not for that. But if they stay in their wickedness and they refuse to let God's people finish their mission, they're going to have to be dealt with. Yes. Folks, this is one of the most powerful messages I've ever preached in my life. All right, let's try to finish this up. Now, this is not for everybody. Because everybody talking about heaven is not going. Let me tell you something, and Billy Graham brought it out the other night. There are some people in church that are not even saved. They're not even saved. They don't even want to hear anything that's got to do with right living. Because they don't have it. Now, I'm not trying to run you away and make you though you don't want, I'm not going down that church anymore. This is my last day on this message, and I got to get it all out. Now, wait a minute. Like I said, now, I'm only saying that I go to the nations, folks, and you should be surprised. I mean, I went to one nation, and you can't spank kids. The pastor spanked his kids, and they arrested him. They interrogated him and his family until he thought about this message, and he stood up to those policemen. And he said, I'm not talking to you anymore. They said, you what? I am not talking to you anymore. And they looked at him funny. He said, they went in the other room and came back out and said, you can go. Now, I want you to hear this. The legal systems of the nations are one of the main targets of demonic abuse. And they're like that because the enemy can take a law and regulate everybody. And that's what he's after, folks. He's after pulling everybody away from God. Notice he wants God out of the school, God out of your marriage, God out of everything. He's redefining marriage. It ain't Adam and Eve no more, boy. It's something else. Just hear what I'm telling you now. And then listen. Now, somewhere I got to be on God's side. Because it's not whether I'm a Republican or Democrat. It's whether I'm on God's side. Now, I'm saying this because I don't want you to ever say that Bill Winston didn't tell you the truth. When you get before Jesus, I want you to say, yes, sir, he sure told me. He said it. This is good news. This shouldn't be bad news. This should be good news. Wow, this shit shouldn't be bad news. Why you get upset about this? This should be a great, great news. The thing about it is once you start walking in this, the anointing of vengeance comes on you, and you won't even have to be concerned about accidents. All of that goes away, folks. Hurt, harm, accidents, it all goes away. You can walk free of everything that the devil would try to throw at you and your family. Say amen to that. Amen. And we don't need to be sweating it out because somebody is in some position that we didn't want to be in there. Look at Nebuchadnezzar. He was in a position up there, one of the most powerful kings of the Babylonian time. Here he was, thought he was all of that. Do you remember that? But what happened? God gave him a dream one night. He saw something in a vision. He saw this big tree, and all of a sudden it fell, and the next thing was left was just a stump. And he didn't know what it meant. It troubled him. He called Daniel and said, what does this mean? He said, what it means is this, is that you think you all of that, but God is going to remove you. He's going to take you out of office. Watch this. Hear me, saints of God. We can pray. Lord have mercy. Y'all got to hear this. He can make it so that he gonna make it so that you're coming out of office and you're gonna take on the mind of an animal. And your hair is gonna grow out of your body. You're gonna go out in the field and you're gonna be in the field like an ox and eating grass until seven seasons are passed and you're gonna come to yourself. Once you come to yourself and acknowledge him as El Elyon, the Most High God, he will put you back up there. Folks, we serve an all-powerful God. The God that we serve will fix anything that's broke. Don't you be concerned whether your country is going down. It is not going down as long as it's on our watch. We got something to say about what happens here. Can I just finish this? Now, wait a minute now. I know some of y'all, we're not serving Twinkies in here. Wait a minute. When God called me, he knew what he called me. I've been a warrior since I was young. And he knew what he had when he called me. Say amen to that. So when I say things, I'm going home and sleep just as peaceful as if are you following what I'm saying? So, but only thing I'm doing is trying to put some strength in us because we've been hearing such watered down, weak things, complaining about stuff. Hey, let's rise up and take an influence in this earth. Say amen to that. All right, let me just finish this last part. All right, the last part, glory to God. Are the recompense. Now the enemy owes us. Now I'm not talking about just one group of people. He owes anybody. And if you have come through any humiliation, he owes you. And he's got to pay for it out of his treasury. Got it? He's got a war chest out there. And we're about to drain that thing. All right? Let's look at something. If you will, let's look at Genesis chapter 30 and 31. We'll be done. How are we doing? Are we doing okay? How you doing? Where's your Bible? You got a Bible? Okay, give me a Bible back there. Give me a Bible. Praise God. I'm going to just give it to you. You don't need to open it. I'm just going to give it. You take it home with you. Okay. Amen. Praise God. Amen. Just a minute. I'm going to put my name in it. Okay. And I'm going to put in here, I love you. All right. Now, okay. Now, I just gave her a Bible that you bought. Okay, now let's, as we look at here. Amen. Okay. My mama didn't raise no fool now. I'm telling you that right now. Okay. Genesis, let's just look at this real quick. Now, the only thing I'm doing now is stirring you up and letting you know that the justice systems of the world, as time goes on, they're going to be under more and more attack because the enemy is trying to work his will before Jesus comes. And you and I are here to hold back iniquity. That's one of the reasons why the church is in the world. But if we lose our voice, we lose our relevance. And so here in Genesis, let's look at it last place. Genesis chapter 30. Now this is when, look at me. This is when a man named Jacob is working for Laban. What happened is he came and he saw Laban's daughter. Her name was what? Rachel. He saw her, and once he saw her, the Barry White music started playing. Okay, no. Once he saw her, once he saw her, he knew that was a person for him. So what did he do? Laban said, okay, work for me for 7 years, I'll give it to you. He worked for 7 years, and then on that night that Laban was supposed to make the great exchange, Laban took the other daughter and pushed her in the tent. And I guess he didn't discover it until the next morning or something like that. And, you know, this is the one with the tooth missing in the front. No, I was just kidding. Come on. You know, y'all need to get serious. You really do. Okay, look at what happened here. In Genesis chapter 30 and verse 25, and it came to pass when Rachel had borne Joseph that Jacob said unto Laban, send me away that I may go into my own place and to my country, and give me my wives and my children for whom I have served thee, and let me go, for thou knowest my service which I have done thee. And Laban said unto him, I pray thee, if I've found favor in your eyes, tarry, for I've learned by experience that the Lord has blessed me for your sake. In other words, because the blessing is on Jacob, Laban is getting blessed. And he said, appoint me thy wages and I'll give it. In other words, how much do you want me to pay you? And he said to him, thou knowest how I have served you and how my cattle was with me. For it was little that thou had before I came, and it is now increased into a multitude. And the Lord has blessed thee since my coming. And now when shall I provide for my own house also? So now it's time for him to go. And he's saying, now wait a minute, I got to go. But I've gotten you increase, but now you won't even let me go. And I have nothing to show for it anyway. Watch this. And he said, what shall I give you? And Jacob said, you shall not give me anything. If you will do this thing for me, I will again feed your flock and keep your flock. Now, I won't read all of that, but he made a deal with him. He said, listen, everything that produces spotted speckle and stripe is mine. That's what Jacob said. Laban, and he said, everything else, Laban, is yours. Well, Laban thought he had him. The reason why he thought he had him, because everything normally produced solid. And it was rare that they produced spotted speckle and stripe. So Laban was glad to make that deal. All right. So he made the deal. But then Jacob got some ideas. They came to him. Let's see where they came to him. Verse 9 of chapter 31. Thus God had taken away the cattle of your fathers and given them to me. And it came to pass at the time that the cattle conceived, that I lifted up my eyes and saw in a dream, and behold, the rams which leaped upon the cattle were ringed, straight, speckled, and gristle. And the angel of God spake unto me in a dream, saying, Jacob, and I said, here I am. And he said, lift up now your eyes and see all the rams which leap upon the cattle are ringed, straight, speckled, and gristle. For I have seen all that Laban has done to you. Now, what is he saying here? He is saying that Laban has been completely unscrupulous in his dealings, and he has stolen from you. But what I'm going to do is I'm going to work vengeance. I'm going to let justice play out in this situation. And when I do that, I'm going to give you back wages, not just wages due to you. But when God gives back wages, if there's any ancestors that have lost wages, Go back and look at Israel coming out of Egypt. They got wages back for 400 years. Oh, Lord Jesus. Sit here now. Sit here. Don't run out on me. So what am I saying here? I'm saying that God is a God of justice. And he sees everything Satan has done to you. Now, don't blame people, because the people are not the problem. The enemy himself is the one that is the mastermind of this entire affair. And God is now making it so that you're going to get paid. So what happened in this case? There were broken wages. Now let's go over, glory to God. Can you stay with me? Now, understand, let's just read this, Genesis 31, and read verse 41 while we're here in Genesis. Verse 41, thus have I been 20 years in thy house. I served thee 14 years for my two daughters, and 6 years for thy cattle. And thou hast changed my wages how many times? So notice what he's done. He has worked for 20 years for this unscrupulous man. And this man has been defrauding him out of his money all that time. Stay with me now. You with me?
Yes.
Now, notice, I want to turn you over. Glory to God. Can I do this? Last place. Let's go over to James and chapter 5, please. James chapter 5. In James chapter 5, I'm going to have you put it up there on the board because my Bible is kind of marked up right here. James chapter 5. Let me know when you get there. Now, remember what I said recompense is. Recompense is God paying somebody or compensating somebody for what they've been through.
Yes.
Now, that's for everybody, folks. He recompensed Abraham for humiliating, for Abimelech humiliating him. So everything you've been through... Come on, get on board with me with this. Look at it. Look at it now. Go to now, you rich men, weep and howl for your misery that shall come upon you. Watch this. Your riches are corrupted. Your garments are moth-eaten. Your gold and silver is cankered, and the rust of them shall be a witness against you, and shall eat your flesh as it were fire. You have heaped treasures together for the what days? We happen to be in the last days. Behold, the hire of the laborers who have reaped down your fields, which is of you kept back by what?
Fraud
crieth. Now notice what's crying. Not the people. What's crying? The wages. The labor, the wages that have not been paid are crying out, I'm in the wrong hands. Because they're supposed to be in the hands of the people that work for it. But they've been defrauded. Put it back up there. They cry. And the cries of them which have reaped are entered into the ears of the Lord of Sabaoth. Now, Sabaoth is not Sabbath. That's something different. Sabaoth means the Lord of all. It means ruler of all, or ruler of the host of heaven. That the cries of the people are about to come. Now, how are they crying? They're crying because they have discovered that they have another court system in heaven. And where they didn't get really the treatment that they should have gotten in this natural court system, there's a higher authority. And so they can go up. Now listen, folks, if you don't want justice for somebody, that you got a problem. Because you're not on God's side. He is not on your side. You have to get on his side. God wants justice. Now just listen to me. This is the last day I'm going to preach this message, so I'm going to get the juice. So notice what happened. The cries. So notice, you just can't have one cry. Because in the court system of heaven, how many witnesses do you need? You need at least two. out of the mouths of two or three, let every word be established. So notice what happened here is now the wages are crying, but now if you move on over here, you'll see that the people are starting to cry. Now, what is God going to do? He's going to execute judgment and justice for everybody that's been oppressed. So what happened with Jacob? Jacob then went to God, and I looked in the Message translation. I said, Lord, now show me this so that I can show it something to the people. He said, read them this. This comes out of Genesis chapter 31, starting at verse 38. In the 20 years, now this is Jacob. In the 20 years I've worked for you, ewes and she-goats never miscarried. I never feasted on the rams of your flock. I never brought you a torn carcass killed by a wild animal, but that I paid for it out of my own pocket. Actually, you made me pay whether it was my fault or not. I was out in all kinds of weather, from torrid heat to freezing cold, putting in many a sleepless night. For 20 years, I've done this. I slaved away 14 years for your two daughters and another 6 years for your flock. And you changed my wages 10 times. For the God of my father, the God of Abraham, and the fear of Isaac had not stuck with me if the God of my father and the God of Abraham and the father of Isaac. I'm rushing now and I gotta slow down to just give you this. If the God of my father, the God of Abraham, and the fear of Isaac had not stuck with me, you would have sent me off penniless. But God saw the fix I was in and how hard I had worked, and last night he rendered his verdict. Is that something? What did he do? Everything. Everything that Laban had was transferred over to Jacob. Now watch this. Over in Exodus, he got the gold and the silver and the clothing and transferred them to Israel. That's what he did. Not here. What he did here was gave Jacob a dream. It's called I see I. Ideas, concepts, and insights. Brother Roberts got it years ago when I was going to seminary at Oral Roberts University. And he talked about it. He said it's coming in the last days. So what did he do with it? He gave him an idea. Go and peel stakes in the wood. Put the wood before the watering trough. And whenever they come, they're going to think it's mating season and start mating. And Jacob accumulated more in 1 year than he did for Laban in 20 years. And in Genesis chapter 31 and verse 1, he heard Laban's son say this, Jacob has taken away everything that was our dad's. Now notice who he took it from. He took it from the wicked. He took it from the wicked. I'm saying that notice what God did. He transferred it, not just transferring material things, but he gave him an idea. I'm saying you're about to see more inventions coming into the church like you've never seen them before. And these inventions are going to be used to transfer wealth. Now, when the wealth comes in, why is the wealth coming in to the body of Christ? Now, that's key. Because it's not just to buy five more Cadillacs. The wealth is coming in because there's a greater work than you and I have been given to do. In other words, we need the wealth to fulfill the calling that God has on the church for this generation. And I'm saying that now we had gotten better revelation than they had in the past. Glory to God. Where are my notes on that? And in the past, glory to God. Just a minute. Glory to Jesus. This is some strange. Devil, I bind you in Jesus' name. I just had that. My goodness. Under the bow. Oh, okay. All right. Yeah, there's some of it. Praise God. It's not all here. All right. Anyhow, you need the wealth because of what he's sending you to do. He's sending you to build cities back. He's sending you to raise up former desolation. He's sending you to help people get educated, help nations eat. There are nations that are in famine because of water. They need, if they could just get a little well. There are people we're sending to Haiti right now. They're taking water purifiers. They see kids standing right in the middle of that water that people are defecating in, and the kids are drinking it because they have nothing else to drink. They're full of worms, full of that. I'm talking about he's sending us to hire unemployed people. He's sending us to set up building programs and different kinds of things. Do you hear what I'm telling you? I'm saying this is why the money is needed. It's needed mainly to rebuild. So God has monitored the abuses that have been against your life, and now God's going to repay you. But I've got a prayer here that we're going to pray that whatever's been robbed from you is now going to be brought back. And this is the prayer that I told you that I was going to have for you if you just showed up today. So we're going to read this prayer right now. Now, say this with me. I am on God's side. Now, whatever side that is, that's the side you're on. Say amen to that. Amen. All right. I've got the prayer because the money is crying out. It's in the wrong hands. But now we want to cry out ourselves, and it's got to be the cry of faith. Say amen to that. All right. So repeat after me with this prayer, if you will. O Lord God, the Most High, Maker of heaven and earth, our Creator, our sustainer, our protector. You are the just God of all the earth. You are the judge of all the earth. You sit in the high court of heaven. You, Lord, execute righteousness and justice for all that are oppressed. You are the Lord of the Sabaoth. You are the ruler of all. The God of angelic armies that fight against our enemies and avenge us of our adversaries. Besides you, there is no God. Because of your great love toward us and all of mankind, and your love for justice, you forsaketh not your saints, but come to our aid on this earth to uphold the justice upon which your throne in heaven and your kingdom on earth rest. To uphold the justice upon which your throne in heaven and your kingdom on earth rest. The enemy has been oppressing your children, has been resisting the church. We now pray that you will work to dismantle everything that is out of line with heaven's government. Hear our cry and be gracious and hearken to us. Restore justice and judgment in all of our situations. For you love righteousness and you hate wickedness. Bring your righteous judgment upon our adversary against all that he is doing. Punish and penalize him for what he has put us through. Every suffering, every humiliation, every shame, every embarrassment, every loss, every entrapment, every sickness, and every attack. He is the perpetrator behind all injustices and evil that have come against us through people. So we ask you, deal with him and deliver us out of every affliction. Restore to us everything that he has stolen. Stolen from us, stolen from our ancestors, everything delayed, bring it forth now in this season. I command the release of inventions, of ideas, of concepts, of opportunities, of discoveries, of businesses, of industries, of ministries, of creative ideas, of relationships, of contracts, of rewards, of inheritance, and increase that have been fraudulently held up, misdirected, sabotaged, blocked, stolen, and destroyed. Execute your vengeance against the enemy speedily and bring to us the full recompense that is due to us as the redeemed heirs of God and joint heirs with Christ, that we may advance your kingdom in all the earth. Crush the oppressor and all wickedness, and establish thy justice among men and nations. Father, we ask this according to your word. And you said in Proverbs chapter 6, if the thief be found, he shall restore sevenfold. He shall give all the substance of his house. We believe it. We decree it. We receive it. And by faith, we have it. In the name of Jesus. Amen. Praise God. Glory to God. Now, let me share this with you. Sit down for just a minute. We're going. I'm ended with this topic. Now, who knows? God may give some more next year after that. But here's the deal. The only thing I want is one thing. God's people God is counting on us to relieve the oppressed. He has no more arms and legs than you and me. That's all he's got. And I travel to nations, folks. And I've seen the devil's work in just about every nation. And it's always the same. People crying, diseased, hungry, kids with no mom or dad. And something rises up inside of you. and you want to do more. And I believe the enemy has tried to keep us from doing more because we've never called for our recompense. But today, we got the key. We're going to call for it. Watch this. I'm looking to get reports all over the place. This is not some political thing I'm on. Get that out of your mind. I got too much sense to do that. But this is a piece of the gospel that needs to be preached. And when I heard this man last night, Billy Graham, preach this, I said, wow. He said it. He said, if we just understood and the church was a carrier of justice, we wouldn't have some of the racial problems we have today. Well, he caught that thing. And folks, during this series, I have received bad letters, all kinds of stuff. Here, Pastor Winston, you're just trying to stir up some racial hatred. What? This doesn't work except by love. I've always been one to believe that when Jesus comes, every promise God has for me, I want to have it. I want to have every promise. I really appreciate you sitting through this series with me. God's going to bless you for that. Just because you're willing to listen to it. Remember now, the church is the most powerful institution in the earth ever. This is our time. Rise and shine, for your light has come. Jesus is coming soon. And the world's trying to seduce us away from our responsibilities so that he can delay the master's coming. But I believe we're the generation that's going to wrap this thing up. Now, we may not be, but what he preached last night, he said, you should live every day like Jesus is coming tomorrow. Boy, that was strong. I took notes on that. I said, man, that is one of the strongest messages that I've ever heard. And he just got, of course, Billy Graham gets thousands saved. But I'm telling you, live every day like he's coming tomorrow. Because that's the way Paul and Peter and all them, that's the way they lived. He's coming soon. So, Mike, thanks to you for sitting through it and being kind to me. Can I just do this before you leave? If there's anybody here and in your life you know you're not right with God, but God has been speaking to your heart, I'd like